know Don. We appreciate Don. And we're going to call him now to bring us the message that God has laid on his heart. Don.
Let's, as we just sang, Be Still My Soul, let's just quiet our souls before the Lord as we get started. Father, in the midst of a world of noise, stress, and tension, we thank you we have a God we can come to find stillness for our soul. We know, Father, we're needy people. None of us are exempt. We come in a broken world. Sometimes we're the ones broken. And we need your help. And so, we know that only the Spirit of God by your word can accomplish anything of eternal value. And that's what we're wanting. We want you to accomplish your best in each of our lives. That best that will break through time and carry us into eternity. And so we just humble ourselves and we just cry out to you to do your work. In Jesus' name, amen. I saw a sad interview this week. It was a mother, and she was being interviewed in the loss of her son. And her son had been in the military. She said he'd been a normal kid. I don't know what that meant, but anyway. She didn't see any, there was no sign of any problem, really. He came home from the military, and even then he said, the military wasn't that bad to him. But anyway, he started using stuff, started using drugs. It seemed to be fairly minor. I mean, it wasn't really hard stuff. It was just steady. And he used it. And finally one day, he took his life. And before he did, he had left some comments for his mom. And he said, it was because of the drugs that he took his life and left this world. Now, I'm thinking, what was he trying to get by taking the drugs? I mean, he had a relatively normal life. What was he trying to gain? Just ask yourself the question, what are people in this world trying to gain? What do they really want? What do they really want? Now, you don't have to take drugs to try to get it. I was talking to a friend of mine, an unbelieving friend. He's a really nice guy. We're kind of building a relationship over time, And I was talking to him about the economy, and we're talking about Peterborough and some of the stores closing and less opportunity for jobs and all of that, and we were talking about that. And interesting, from this unbelieving standpoint, it wasn't like I got to get a job that I never lose, or I got to get a better job, or I got to make more money. He made this observation. He said, really, it's what's in here that makes the difference. I thought that was very insightful. And not from the unbelieving standpoint, but from God's standpoint, there's something we need to think about. Now, I want you to, if you go with me to Romans 8, I want you to just look at a little phrase, Romans 8, and I'm going to go to verse 6 to start with, just the end of Romans 8, verse 6. These three words. Now, whether it was the young guy trying to gain something, or my friend trying to hold on to something. I think these words caption what many, many people are craving for, running for, living for, giving everything for, and that is life and peace. Now just think about that. Life and peace. Now we know, from a Christian standpoint, life starts, now we're not talking about the physical existence, we're talking about the spiritual stuff. Life starts with Christ. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. So the question is, who are you depending on to make life work? Who are you depending on to get through life? Who are you depending on after life is over, our physical life? The only one who can give us life, spiritual, eternal life, is the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus came, God, man, came into the world, died on the cross to pay for our sins, and we all had a bag of sins, to pay for our sins so that we would not have this barrier between us and God, who is the source of life. And Christ wants to give you that life. If you've never trusted Christ, that's the place you begin. I'd say that to my friend. I would say that to you. I'd say that to my grandkids. I want the best for you. I want you to have life. Not just healthy life. I want you to have spiritual life. He who believes in the Son, who rests his eternal destiny on the Lord Jesus because he died on the cross, he rose from the dead, to rest your eternal destiny on him is the only way you will ever have life. But that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. That's just sticking your toe over the beginning of the race. That's just sticking your toe over the end, this beginning. Life. Now, do you have life? Do you have that? But this life that we're talking about here is not just, well, I got my ticket for heaven. I'm going, I guess I go when it's time. No, it's not just that. It's life and peace. It's life. It's the kind of life that is abundant life. It is life that is full. It is life that is meaningful. It is life where you're not ripped off. When you get done with this thing, you live this life out. And if you've had this life, if you've had an abundant life, you're not going to say, oh man, I've got all these lousy regrets. And there's some Christians that are looking back in the rearview mirror, and they're looking in the rearview mirror of regret. And they're saying, man, why did I do that? Why did I mess up like that? Why did I not listen? One time there was this young lady, and I was, oh, man, she was a genuine believer. I'm just convinced of it. And she was making this absolute terrible choice, and I was pleading with her, do not do this. And she says, I always have to learn the hard way. I thought, boy, you know what? She's learning the hard way right now. The last I heard, she is in a sad, sad, dangerous situation. Now, God, though, wants us to have life and peace. Just the peace within. Don't you imagine this young guy who took his life was craving for some peace? If I can only have another hit. If I can only have another joint. If I can only have more, hopefully it will give me peace. You know, there are Christians that are going around, they have peace with God, but they don't have peace within. Anxiety, exasperation, frustration. But you know what? God wants us to have life and peace. He wants us to have life and peace. How are you going to get it? Where's it going to come from? Well, let's look at our passage. Romans 8, and I'm going to read at verse 5. And he's been talking about, and maybe I should back up to verse 1 in the New King James. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those, talking about, you don't have to mess up your life with feeling total guilt and mess up in all the way you've lived. You don't have to live under sin. Now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's two roads, even for a Christian. Some will take this road, walk by flesh, some will take bug by the Spirit. Now, of course, you can change over if you're a Christian. You know, you can be messing up and you can wake up. But notice we drop down here in verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh, okay, we're thinking about not, you don't have to walk according to the flesh, but those who are according to the flesh, those who walk according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, those who are according to the flesh, those are carnal, we call them sometimes used to, in some translations, carnal Christians. Okay? Now, I want to read, I'm going to read in 1 Corinthians 3, and we've read this in the past, but I want to remind you, this is what Christians can look like. This, by the way, is one of the reasons some people go to a church, they get burned, and they turn away, and they say, I'm never going back to church again, because of this kind of lifestyle that Christians can live out. Notice, and I, brethren, Paul's talking to Christians, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men or women, but as men or women of flesh, as to infants in Christ. You know what? You know, babies are so cute, right? They're so cute. I love my grandchildren. But when they were, you know, doing the diaper deal, that's when you need a mom, right? Mom, grandpas do not do diapers. We do not do diapers. We don't do throw-up babies. I know some of you here who are very faithful. I commend you. You'll get a golden star. But grandpas are not supposed to do diapers. Now, let's say this. Kids are so cute, but it's not cute if they don't grow. You want them to be healthy and vibrant. And that's the same with Christians who don't grow, who are not healthy, who are not vibrant, who are just staying in the baby pen and not growing up. Now it says, brethren, talking to Christians, this is the Corinthian Christians, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but to men, and one version says, but as to carnal. That's where we get our word that we sometimes hear. We don't use that word much today, but it says still fleshly. That's where it connects in with Romans. In verse 3 of the same chapter, for you are still fleshly, or again in the New King James, you are still carnal. And then in 1 Corinthians 3:3 it says, there are envy and strife and divisions among you. Are you not carnal? Behaving like mere men. Behaving just like you're not a Christian at all. You know, one of the ways, and it's not the only way, but the way the world will brand us as a bunch of hypocrites is if we're fussing and fighting with each other. You know, we're all imperfect. None of us get it together. But if we live out our fussing and fighting, the world looks on and they say, you are a bunch of losers. I'm not going to church anymore. I don't want anything to do with your God. God says, grow up. Don't be babies. Don't be staying in the diapers. Grow up. And so now let's go back to our Romans passage, this growing up part. For those who are according to the flesh, those who are carnal, set their minds on the things of the flesh. They're flesh-oriented, as one puts it. Now, if you're flesh-oriented, really you're earth-bound. If you're flesh-oriented, it's just about me, it's just about what I can accomplish, and God's pretty much out of the picture. Now, I know we may go to church on Sunday, I understand that, right? But really, God's not very relevant to my life. I'm flesh-bound, I'm self-centered, self-focused, and I'm dependent on myself to get through. Now, I might, you know, I may call out to other people, but I'm not looking to God. I'm just trying to make it on my own. I'm flesh-oriented. Now, that doesn't always mean I'm as nasty as I could be. But it just means I'm looking to myself to make life work. So, those who are flesh-oriented, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. Their resources basically are just what they can come up with, or what the world can offer apart from God. And the world has lots of offers, right? I mean, all you have to do, go on your computer, go on the TV, the world has all kinds of opportunities. Now, not all of them are not bad, don't get me wrong. But the world is offering solutions to issues in our life that ultimately will fall short if only God can meet that need. And there's so many things. We cannot have life and peace apart from God. But the world says you can. All you have to do is buy more of this, or get one of those, or get into this relationship, or take this drug. This is going to make you so over the top happy. God loves us so much, he's saying that is a lie. You cannot have life and peace apart from God. Yes, you may make it past the step where this guy took his life because it was so frustrating. You may not get stuck on drugs. I understand that. Hopefully you won't. But you are not going to enjoy the abundance God has for you if you just stay self-focused. Stay earthbound. Leaving God out. Just think about it. Just think about it. Is God a big part of your life? Or is he on the back burner somewhere and you kind of forgot him? He doesn't seem relevant. And of course, the world is going to tell you. The world is telling us every day, God is not even, if he does exist, he's not relevant. Right? The world is stealing from us what real life should be, what real peace can be. Don't get ripped off. But notice the positive side. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds or their flesh oriented on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. They set their minds on resources that are from God. We look beyond just what's in front of us. We look beyond what's just visible to us. And we see what God has for us. He's got great things. Resources to make life work. Direction to know where to go. Compassion when our heart is broken. Strength when we need strength for the journey. He's everything we need. And the Spirit is the one who is resident within the Christian. If you've trusted Christ, you have the Spirit. The Spirit is resident in the Christian. And he works in us to point out what God has for us. He's the resident within, the divine resident within, focusing on what this is what God has for you. The world is not going to do that for you. But the Spirit of God, as we pay attention, first we recognize our need, and then we set our sights on things that relate to God. And I think of this passage. This is a passage, and again, I go to another passage outside of Romans, but Colossians 3. Now just think about this. We walk in the first door of Colossians 3, and it says this. Therefore, talking about all the benefits, it's already talked about what you have in Christ. It says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, that's true of every Christian. It's not something we see physically, but spiritually, we're connected with him. We're raised up. He's risen. We are raised with him spiritually from God's vantage point. This is awesome. If you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Figure out what you got. And Andrew's helped me sometimes with my computer. I am really not a computer nerd. I'm a computer. I don't know what this does, right? But anyway, so let's say you get a new computer, and some of you guys who are really cool with computers, you know, you da-da-da-da-da, and you got it going. You know why and where to go and all that stuff. But let's say you get this new computer and you got this. Of course, I know the manuals don't even use manuals. They're on the computer now. But let's say you had this computer manual, you know, and you're going to read it and you're going to read it and you're going to figure out, I hate that. Oh, it's so boring. It's so, I don't want to read that. But let's say you got this great computer and you don't have a clue how to use it. You spent hundreds of dollars on this computer and you don't know what to do with it. You know, there's a lot of people in the Christian life like that. They've got these awesome resources. And they've never opened the manual. They don't know what they got, and they don't know how to use it. A lot of Christians are just like that. You know, we're kind of going along, and, you know, we call somebody, hey, I don't know what to do here. Well, have you been reading the manual? Well, I threw the manual out. It was so boring. How many Christians have thrown the Bible out because they think, man, I'm not interested. I'm going to play my game. Let's play my game. Right? Nothing wrong with games unless you're overplaying them. But anyway, you say, oh, I can't do that. Let's play my game. Or let's go do this. You know, something that's fun. Bible's not fun. Unless we let the Spirit of God to open our eyes to how awesome it is. Now, set your mind on things above where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, the things that relate to God, not on the things that are on earth. Now, it doesn't mean you don't understand stuff that's happening down here. I mean, if you got your driver's license, you had to study to get your, hopefully you did, and you're a good driver, right? Hopefully you got that all figured out. We have to know how to drive. If you have a job, you need to do your best, and all of that. But we don't want to just be earthbound. We don't want to just say, well, this is all there is. No, set your mind on the stuff that's eternal, that really will count, that will give you life and peace. Why rip yourself off? God loves you too much for that. But we need the Spirit of God. We need to set our mind, by God's power, we need to set our mind on the things that really, really, really count. Now, in the context of Romans, where we've been, we talked about our provisions in Christ. We talked about this in Romans 6. Oh, all that Christ is. If you've trusted Christ, you're in Him, and you have access to resources. It says in Ephesians, all spiritual resources. You have all spiritual blessings in Christ. It's amazing. You are over the top blessed. But again, if you don't know what you got, but we need to understand what we got. So we go to the Word and we say, man, I didn't know. You know, it says here, casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. Wow! I've got this heavy burden and life is the pits at times. Casting all your care. And then I realize, in Christ, He cares for me. I can take my burden, all my problems, my heartaches, and I can just take them to Him, cast them on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. You need to remember how much He loves you. Have you ever just allowed Him to wrap His arms, His spiritual arms around you and say, I love you. I care for you. I know it hurts right now. I'm going to let you. I'm just let me hold you. He cast away because He cares for you. You see, that's one of those blessings. When we're in Christ, we can enjoy the blessings. And then it takes the power of the Spirit. I mean, we don't have the vision. We don't have the ability to see what God has for us apart from God's power, the Spirit of God. And when you trust Christ, you have the Spirit that comes to live within you. And now you can begin, when you read something, it begins to come alive, becomes real, it becomes so you can get it. And we just keep going back to the Word, because God shows us His principles. We have our provision in Christ. We have the power of the Spirit. And then God says, hey, I want to show you some new stuff you haven't learned yet. I want you to get this. We open up His book and we say, you know what? God has this for me. This is the way to live well. This is the way to stay out of trouble. This is the way to get the most out of life. And God has all these paths that He will direct us through. And each of us are unique. But we need those principles to get through the unique path that God has you on. Let's say you're in school. Let's say you're in high school. You've got tons of challenges. Tons of temptations. God has principles to get you through. How to handle people who hate you. How to handle people who don't like you. How to handle people that are tempting you. How to deal with situations. How to deal when you don't get good grades. All of those things. God has principles. But we need to go to the book. We need to draw in the book. I was talking to a dear friend of mine. And just a new Christian. And he was saying, man, I started reading in Proverbs. He said, man, this is pretty neat. You go and you find something. Hold on to this. I'm going to hold on to this treasure. Because I need this. Trust in the Lord with all my heart. Lean not in understanding. All thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Just hang on to His truth. We have all that we need. Set your mind on things above. Through the Word. Depend on God's power. Rely on your provision in Christ. God has a wonderful plan for our life, but we need to take advantage of it. You know, our thought process is very important. What you're thinking about. What you're focused on. You know, we need to continually know God's truth so we can understand what we are to believe and then know how to walk. let me ask you a question. Is there any truth you picked up this week in God's book that gives you wisdom how to take the next step for whatever you're facing? You see, God has a plan for us. He knows right where you're at. He knows what you're struggling with, and he knows principles. Again, talking to my friend who's just a new believer, he says, it's amazing. He's going through, he's reading this book and he's reading the Bible, and he says, it's amazing. I'll be reading something, and it's exactly what I needed for that day. It's exactly, God knew what he needed. God knows what we need. So when we come to his book, he opens the truth to us. So now we can begin to walk in the power of the Spirit, not in just trying to gut it out in our own strength. And it's a lonely journey when we're living without God as a Christian. I mean, it's a terrible journey for a person who's never come to Christ, never found the Lord Jesus, trusted in the Lord Jesus, their Savior. But it's a terrible thing for somebody who knows the Savior who doesn't walk with the Savior. What a terrible, lonely journey. You ever been lost? I remember one time I was, years and years ago, I was in Galveston, Texas. And I went with a friend, and the only reason he went, because his girlfriend was there. And so we get to Galveston, and he dumps me for his girlfriend. I don't understand why. You know, right? But anyway, he dumps me, and so he and his girlfriend are having time, you know. Well, I'm all by myself. I got the car. That's why I had to drive him there. I got the car. I'm driving around Galveston. I'm driving around. It's dark. It's night. And I am so dead lost. I was so lost. I thought, I might be 85 before I get out of Galveston, right? You know, but there's a lot of Christians. It's not Galveston. They're just traveling their life. They're wandering around to take this block, take a wrong turn, go down this street, end up in a dark alley. I remember one time, my dad and mom, we were on a vacation in Colorado, and we went, I think we were in Denver, I think. Denver or Colorado Springs. And Dad, we were in, again, it was dark, it was night, and he drove down, and we ended up in a dead end alley. And it was a good place to die. I thought, this is probably it, right? Kiss it all by now. We were lost. But there's a lot of Christians who are driving, and they end up in a dead end alley because they haven't been paying attention to what God has to say to them. And then they say, well, what, you know, God, why did you let this happen to me? They're all upset with God. God said, I've been trying to get your attention for the last period of your life. God says, I love you too much. And if you'll turn to him when you're in that dark alley, he'll get you out of there. But you've got to look to him for that. Now, let's go on. Let's think about it. Let's just work on this a little bit more, because it takes us, I'll read 5 and then we jump into 6. For those who according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For, he's elaborating, he's giving the why. For the mind set on the flesh is, put your seatbelt on, death. Now we know a person who never trusts Christ, the wages of sin is death. Right? And that in death, one way we've said it many times, but it means separation from God. And depending on the context, what that means is that determines a kind of separation. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're separated from God now and forever, ever, ever, ever. In Thessalonians, it calls it everlasting destruction. That doesn't mean you go out of existence. That means it is the most terrible state, because you were created by God, in the image of God, to be with God. And to be separated from God, you miss God's best. And that is death. But this context is talking about another form of death, and that is spiritual death, whereby the Christian, we have everlasting life, but we're not enjoying our everlasting life. We're separated from God for his best as we walk through this life. And it stinks. You ever come, well, of course, this is a farm story, but you come across, come across a dead animal, you know, some animal that died out in the plains. Maybe, you know, a time I'd be on my horse and we'd be riding along and you'd come and there'd be some critter who had died. And by the time you got there, it was, woo! I don't want to get close to that. That stench. Death has a stench to it. Spiritual, when we're not walking with the Lord, life stinks. And God does not want us to stay there. The mindset on the flesh, the mind orientation, the mindset is a situation when we're stuck in our zone without God. Death, a condition we can get in. It's like being in a rut. It's like being in a rut. Think of some of those old logging roads, and I haven't really been on very many of them. But let's say you're on an old logging road, and there's not much, most places there's rock, but let's say there's a lot of soft dirt, and you're going along, and this somebody before, you know, maybe on one of these four-wheelers, they dug, and they dug those places where the tires are deep down, those ruts are deep, deep, deep. And maybe they were on one of these big high things, right? And you're coming along, your little dinky thing, and you're coming, and then that means you're going nowhere fast. You are stuck in the rut. But you know, a lot of Christians are stuck in the rut. And they're not going anywhere fast. They're stuck. And God says, do not stay stuck. It's like that separation from God is like being stuck. We don't want to miss out on God's best. We don't want to miss out on fellowship with God. You know, this is the context earlier of Romans 7. For the good that I want to do, Paul said this in verse 19, I do not do, but I practice the very evil I do not want. If we don't get figured out what God's provision is to us in Christ by the Spirit, we're going to keep messing up. Keep messing up. Keep whatever it is you struggle with. You keep recycling that. It's like, again, you're in that rut. Your tires are spinning, but you're not going anywhere. You say, I hate my anger. I hate my anger. And so you're spinning those tires, you know. I hate this addiction. And you're spinning those tires. I hate my attitude, you know, of being always critical of people. And you're spinning those tires. God says, I have a way out of this. You don't have to stay stuck. You don't have to keep recycling in the rut. But, this is where we get to the encouraging part, but the mindset on the Spirit, the mindset of the Spirit, when we're looking to the Spirit and He focuses on our resources in Christ, in our provision in Christ, in our power of the Spirit, in the principles of the Father, He's got us focused. He's focusing us. The mindset of the Spirit. We definitely need the Spirit. The Spirit's within us. He's the agent within us. God, the Spirit within us. To help us focus on the things that really, really, really count. And if we allow Him to work, if we depend on Him, walking by the Spirit is depending on the Spirit. If we do that, you know what? You know what we get? We start showing signs of life. The fruit of the Spirit. Love. Joy. Peace. Think how many people in the world would just love to have those three things. Just think, a family that has love in it, a family that has joy in it, a family that has peace in it. Wouldn't that be the most awesome thing for so many multitudes of people who go home to a house of chaos and turmoil and hatred? We can know God's abundant life by depending on the Spirit to focus us on the provisions in Christ, and we can begin to experience what God has. In Romans 6:4, in the larger context, therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Because He lives, we can live. We can walk in newness of life. We don't have to walk the way it was. We can have abundant life. Like the Lord Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Now let me ask you, how is that looking? Is that working? Is that a reality? Now I'm not saying, is life easy? No, no, no. It's never going to be easy in this world. Some people get saved and they get mad at God because they're not just happy flow through the rest of the zone. No, no, no. We live in a sinful world, a broken world. We have to go through the same things unbelievers go through. Christians get cancer just like unbelievers get cancer. Families erupt just like unbelievers' families erupt. We understand that. But God can give us life in the midst of the pain. It is for real. And some Christians are so, you know, I'm not happy. Well, are you tight with the Lord? Are you allowing the Spirit of God? Are you walking Spirit-oriented? And it's not just like an on and off switch. It's a learning to depend on the Lord, learning what we have. And that allows us to grow. And the more we grow, the more effectively we walk. But if we stay in the rut, we just live earthbound lives, and we stay in the rut, you're not going to enjoy God's best. Yeah, if you've trusted Christ, you get to go to heaven. That's great, awesome. But you're not going to enjoy the journey. And you're also not going to bring glory to the Lord. You're missing out. And the world keeps pummeling us with messages that are not true. Now notice, also we need life and peace. Do you see that in our passage? Life and peace. A sense of tranquility. When we set our mind on our provision in Christ, and we know the power of the Spirit, and we're dependent on the power of the Spirit, and we look to the principles, God gives us peace in our journey. And again, like we said, it's not necessarily an easy journey. Some Christians have very hard journeys. But you can have peace in the midst of your path. What a wonderful thing. You don't have to do drugs. You don't have to get into the wrong relationships that will kill you. You don't have to deal, you don't have to be hateful toward people. You can have peace in the midst of the journey as we stay steadfast. Now this is an Old Testament passage that reminds us and was preparing for what we're talking about today. But in Isaiah 26:3-4, I want to read these beautiful words. And I start out with, in verse 3, the steadfast of mind. Now, again, our mind is so critical. The steadfast of mind, you will keep, God will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. The New King James states it this way. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Where's your mind? You know, I've said this before, but one of the things that amazes me about our culture, we're so wrapped up in, you know, eat the right food. Now, I could use a little of this myself. You know, eat the right food. Don't eat all this junk, right? I understand that there's a place for that. We're so concerned about our physical. We're totally unconcerned about our mental. Garbage in, garbage out. Yes, take care of your body. But more importantly, take care of your mind. The steadfast of mind. That will keep in perfect peace. Do you ever wonder why so many people are just driven by anxiety? Where's our focus? The steadfast of mind. And then as we stay focused on the Lord, listen to these words. This is in Philippians chapter 4. This is Philippians 4. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Boy, that's an over-the-top request. Be anxious for nothing. So whatever you're anxious about, you can put it in the category. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Take it to God. Take it to God. Take it to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, we can't understand it. Somebody, let's say they're going through a terrible, terrible situation. They can have the peace of God even though it is beyond, why do I have peace? Beyond comprehension. Peace beyond comprehension. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It will guard. Just think. Just think you had a big, you know, like Kyle, he's a big dude, right? And if I needed protection, I'd say, Kyle, would you stand between me and the nasty guy, right? You know, protect me, right? Protect me. God's peace will protect us, even better than Kyle. But anyway, protect us, right? It will guard us. It will guard our minds. But notice what has to happen. This is a preparation for that. Finally, brethren, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Are you having lots of anxiety? Where's your mind? Where have you allowed your mind to go? How can you put your mind in the right place? By depending on the Spirit of God to look at my provision in Christ and walk in the principles of the Father. that can change everything. God is concerned about our mind so that we might have the privilege to enjoy life and peace. Another wonderful passage in Jeremiah 17 says this, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind." He's just earthbound. It's all up to me. Not looking to the Lord. "And makes flesh his strength." You know, some people are really, really intelligent. They're dependent on their intelligence. Some people have really nice personalities. They're dependent on their personality. Some people are just great in relationships. They're dependent on those connections. "And makes flesh his strength." That's what they're doing. "And those whose heart turns away from the Lord, what will happen? For he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony waste in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant." Have you ever driven through a desert? Oh, it's desolate. Desolate. One time I had a student, he was talking about Kansas. He said, "I drove through Kansas one time." He says, "You'd never get where you're going, right?" It seems like it's a desolate. It's not really a desert, but in the dirty 30s it was. And you know, when we just trust in ourselves, we count on ourselves, dependent on ourselves, it's like living in the dirty 30s. It's just desolate. There's no life, there's no peace. But then the positive upswing. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit." See, it doesn't mean life's always easy. I'm talking about a guy in a desert, right? But you don't have to live like you're in the dirty 30s. When we trust the Lord, we set our sights on the things of the Lord. We depend on the power of the Lord. We look to the provision in the Lord. We look to the principles of the Lord. We depend on those things. We can live life. We can have life and peace. Now, let me ask this question. If you looked at your life as a vehicle, are you stuck in a rut? Are you stuck in a rut? You ever been really, really stuck and you take the car and you stick it in forward and then back out and then and all you're doing is going deeper? You dig in the hole? Some Christians are digging the hole. The rut's worse than it was last year. God says, no. I want you to have life and peace. Look to me. Focus on me through my word. Depend on my spirit. Focus on me and you will begin to experience more life and peace. Now, I just want to say this. God wants us to have life and peace. But you know what? You can so live your life as a Christian and stay in the rut. I was thinking of the story. It came to my mind this morning. My dad, who's now with the Lord, he was a Christian man. He was talking to a dear friend of his. And the friend of his was a little bit older. And when that friend was a young boy, he had professed faith in Christ. Dad said, from all the evidence, he was a Christian. He had the most interest in spiritual things of his whole family. But he got his focus off of the Lord, and he just started driving in the rut. And there are lots of situations, lots of things that don't need to be said. But this man sat with my dad. They were sitting in a room. And they were sitting chair across chair. My dad was just trying to help him, comfort him. The man was a little bit intoxicated at that point because that's the way life had gone. And he was depressed. He was sad. And he was crying. He was crying. Because when he looked in the rearview mirror of his life, all he could see was regret. I think that man will be in heaven. But there's a lot of people who won't be in heaven as a result of the way he lived. You see, God loves us too much to leave us in the rut. God does not want any of us to be that friend of my father's who sat there weeping because he blew it for his life. God wants us to enjoy life and peace. Let's ask him to help us do that. God, we're here. We all have been in the rut. None of us are exempt. Father, some are still in the rut of being unsaved. They've never trusted Christ. Father, may they realize this morning they need Jesus in order to begin in life. But Father, may the rest of us who have already trusted Jesus, may we realize that we can fall back into a rut and miss life and peace. Father, you love us too much to allow that. I pray that by your grace and the power of your Spirit, you will help us make decisions, again, by your power, to get out of the rut and begin. We know it's a process. Begin to really know abundant life and soothing peace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.